Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah, and this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. So you might be wondering, where has she been? And I honestly would feel you. If you don't feel that way, then that's fine too. But I totally understand if you're wondering where I've been. And the answer is that I have been super busy with work. I have been pre-prepping for a wedding, even though I wasn't engaged yet. But I knew it was coming soon, so we just started planning for a wedding before. There are a lot of things going on in my life, great things, thank God, but you know, life, it just got really busy. So luckily I'm here to say that I am still so passionate about this podcast and I'm so happy to be doing it still. And it's truly my passion, but I think sometimes when my anxiety gets really high or I have a lot to do and I'm overwhelmed, this unfortunately takes a bit of a backseat just because it's not my full-time job. It's not my relationship. It's not my friends. It's a passion, but it just unfortunately takes a backseat when everything else in life is hitting me all at once. So I, I'm sorry. And I am not sorry if you didn't miss me. Anyway, before I move into peak and pit of the week, I'm going to quickly talk about BetterHelp. BetterHelp.com is an online therapy service where they offer thousands of professionals and you could be speaking to one in under 48 hours. So, you know, if you're looking for therapy, if you're looking for online counseling, which at this point in, you know, our post/still in pandemic era, online therapy, in my opinion, is really the way to go. And BetterHelp is a great service. Go to betterhelp.com/it's fine. That's betterhelp.com/it's fine for 10% off your first month of service. So I will go into peak and pit now to start with my pit. My work life has just been super busy. And sometimes that just makes me really overwhelmed because I am not able to take care of myself in weeks like that. But my peak is that I got engaged yesterday, which was so crazy. I can't even believe I'm saying those words out loud. I don't even have words. It was really the best day of my life and I'm so happy and I just can't believe this happened and I'm so happy. And that's all I can say because I'm exhausted and I also just am on cloud nine. And sometimes when you're on cloud nine, you just don't have words. So, anyway, I'm very ecstatic and my voice has gone from screaming all day yesterday out of excitement. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll see my face and my reaction. I was smiling and screaming the whole day. And I'm really grateful. You've probably all heard me at least on a few episodes talking about my journey, my dating journey. I went on so many dates and I was so over it. And I was like, I'm never going to find anyone. And then I found someone through a mutual friend at like a lunch one time. And it was so chill and I really didn't know or think that anything was going to come out of it. And then I saw him again a month later. And still nothing came out of it. And then I saw him again another month later. And then that's when we clicked. So, you know, you never know how many dates it takes with someone to see if there is that spark that you're looking for. It might not come on the first date or the first few times that you meet. You might just be friends. And sometimes that's what really makes the best relationship. So anyway, that's my like tidbit of advice. I can't believe I'm an engaged woman. It makes no sense to me. But anyway, I'm super happy. You can probably tell in my voice, I'm super tired. But I really hope you all enjoy this episode. I am speaking with Emily and Lindsay from their company called Presently. I'll let them explain what exactly it is that they've created and they've done in their pandemic era. But they're awesome people and they open up about their story and I learned a lot from them. So I hope you do too and enjoy. Welcome to the pod, Emily and Lindsay. I'm so happy to have you. Oh my God, no. You guys froze. Oh no, you're just happy. No, you're just happy. You're just happy.
Wait, let me.
Oh my gosh. I'm
sorry. We're really just kindly listening.
We're both just like, I was like, oh no, they froze.
You did freeze. So that's why we thought.
Maybe we did freeze for a second.
Oh, okay. That was really funny. But welcome to the podcast. So just to like get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about like who you are and what your business is and, you know, just tell us like what you do for, you know what, why don't you just kick it off?
Okay. No,
I don't want to like ruin too much by being like, here's their business, here's what they do, but it's actually not their full-time job and they also do this. So you guys go ahead.
Yeah, I was just looking at her because we kind of need to like sense when the other one's supposed to talk. But I will start. My name is Emily. I am 27 years old. My full-time job, I'm an art director at an ad agency. But the reason we're here is because we started a mindfulness jewelry brand called Presently. I won't introduce Lindsay. I'll let her introduce herself, but I have OCD and anxiety. And so, you know, the reason we started this was because we wanted to just spill our guts to the world. And Lindsay, take it away.
Lindsay, and I'm 32, interior designer at an architectural and design firm.
Beautiful. So what is Presently?
So Presently is...
Presently?
So I've like kicked myself in the butt for this because everyone thinks it's Think Presently, which is like rightfully so because everything, like our website's Think Presently, Instagram is Think Presently. But we really just like it were Presently, but because the domain wasn't available, we are Think Presently, but we go by Presently.
Got it.
We are Presently.
Yes. And so Presently is a... like I said before, mindfulness jewelry brand. We create bracelets with engraved phrases that are inspired by cognitive behavioral therapy. And what that means is these are phrases that we've learned in therapy ourselves that sort of help us to remember that mindset shift that we need in order to combat our OCD. And what's great about it is that it helps anyone with just like anxiety, not even an anxiety disorder. It helps anyone who just has everyday anxiety, like most of us humans do. So it's really just a universal tool to help everyone live happier, healthier lives.
That's awesome. Doesn't necessarily have to be happier.
Or happier. Yeah. You know, it's okay to feel how you feel. You don't have to be happy. Right. You can be... But yeah.
That's awesome. So how did you come up with this idea for the... I actually have a million questions, but we'll start with, how did you come up with the idea for the business?
I think that idea came up because Emily was looking for a bracelet from a phrase that I had taught her when I was... as from therapy that I had gone to.
Do you want me to...
yeah, just go.
She has a better personal story, so I'll just talk about the business. Basically, it started because in summer of 2020, anxiety was high, pandemic, you know, was starting out. I was starting a long distance relationship, and I was just feeling super anxious. And, you know, I usually go like through ups and downs of like, sometimes I'll forget I even have OCD and sometimes it's just like really, really heavy. And so I really just wanted like a reminder or something to kind of like bring me back. And so, you know, I'm not a fan of tattoos. So I was like, you know, might be nice to have a bracelet with something on it. But then I was like, well, I don't even know what I would even say. Cause like, how do you get one line that's just going to sum up what you're supposed to do when your, you know, head is swirling with anxious thoughts? And so after doing some research, to figure out what that phrase would be, I realized that there aren't really any phrases that like would specifically be helpful for someone with anxiety. Just because like looking on bracelet websites that already have like engraved phrases or positive phrases, it's
an affirmation.
Affirmation bracelets. It's not, you know, some of the phrases we'd see is like in with the good shit, out with the bad shit, or positive vibes only.
Right. It's like, what is that doing for someone who's right. anxious? Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And so I'm like, well, if I got this bracelet, I don't think my therapist would be very happy with me.
It's like guy that it's like the bracelet, you know, like those memes that it's like, what do we like therapist? What do you say when you're anxious? And it's like, F that, like something like that. Put that on the bracelet.
Exactly.
It doesn't help.
Exactly. So I was like, okay, there's obviously like a gap in the market for this and I really need something. So I guess eventually I kind of racked my brain and I thought of the phrase that Lindsay had taught me before therapy, which was my thoughts are passing clouds. And
this
just
was before even she knew she had OCD.
Right. So before I knew I had OCD, I was just an anxious kid and she was just an older sister trying to help me out and was like, you know, think of your thoughts as passing clouds. And I think that like once I remembered that, I really realized how much that helped like lift the weight off my shoulders. So that was the phrase that kind of sparked the whole thing. And I went to Lindsay, who is always interested in like sharing her story and just like helping others. And so I was like, we could, you know, maybe there's like a way we can start a business out of this because so many people would find these bracelets helpful and they don't exist. And, you know, it could be a platform for us to share our own experiences. And so
I remember Emily coming down, I was like at my desk, you know, working and she's like, I have a business plan.
Louder.
Oh, she's like, I have a business plan for us. And I was like, or no, like I have a business, a company that we should start. And I was like, okay, what is it? And then she told me, but it's so interesting because I feel like for me, I wanted to like almost write, I still want to write a book just about like my life in general and just the struggles that I have dealt with, in terms of OCD. And it has, every time I share my story with friends or even just like people that, you know, acquaintances or just like somebody, it's like a fun fact I usually use for anything. I usually say I have OCD, and like that I feel like alone saying that out loud and doing it in a way where people are not expecting it, you know, especially like in the office when you say that out loud is your fun fact, people like actually like appreciate and also like feel a connection to me, you know,
right.
whether it's
right.
they're going through something or whether they know somebody that has similar mental, you know, disorders or mental issues.
Yeah.
And it's like funny because I feel like when I see people's reaction, they're just like, oh, like, that's like really, you know, thank you for sharing. Like, it just helped. And not that they had to open up themselves, it's just like allowing that. Basically being that, like, that pathway for somebody to, if they ever needed to talk about something or share something, like, there's an open dialogue now. I've already opened that so for other people to kind of use and have. So that was, like, a huge thing that we wanted to promote and share was, like, this whole idea of, you know, sharing our story and sharing our experiences and how that can have an impact and help others share their story and kind of continue on spreading the awareness of mental illness.
That's amazing. Seriously. Wait, and I want to ask this, but I don't want you to feel like you have to, either of you have to share anything, but like when did both of you begin your mental health journeys? Like were you, Emily, you said that first you knew you had anxiety when you were younger. Like, how did you know, first of all? And second of all, how did you both realized that you had OCD? Like, what are the, I guess, symptoms of OCD that made you think, okay, maybe I have something more than just like the normal day-to-day stress?
So Lindsay's going to go first because it helps in chronological order.
Okay. So for me, I guess I realized I had OCD when I was like, I was a kid. I mean, I didn't realize what it was, but you know, my parents would see this like behavior of just like turning on and off a light switch or lining things up. And, it was then I realized I had OCD, but it wasn't until I was in high school where I was like actually properly diagnosed and went to a therapist because middle school, you know, I had OCD, but it wasn't like, I don't remember it being like, you know, a lot of like thoughts and obsessions. It was more so like thoughts, but it was more of the, you know, compulsions that I would, the checking of compulsions and physical compulsions that I would have to do. But in high school, what changed or what got even more intense was the fact that like my OCD had then taken on a new form and became this something called existential OCD, where it's, you kind of lose sight of reality and kind of starting to doubt yourself and whether things are real. And so that was like a huge realization for me. Not that I realized that was OCD in the moment. It was very scary. And like, I completely, you know, like panicked and, you know, became, wouldn't eat, wouldn't, you know, had to like, I had to go to a therapist like right away because it was like so intense and so hard to, I mean, like just imagine like having this thought, like, how do I know if I'm not dead or how do I know if I'm dead? Mm-hmm. And it was like my parents would, you know, talk to me and I would explain it to them. And they would try to, you know, like comfort me and say like, of course you're not, like, we're here, we're talking to you. And it's, the crazy part of this whole, I guess the hard part to like for somebody with OCD to kind of understand is like this constant doubting and like constant like being unsure of like whether something was true or not. And how do I get the facts and how do I know if what you're saying is true? Not that I don't believe you, but how do I know that like this is not all something that I'm just like dreaming or something like that? Wow. So it was like it's so complex and so tiring to like explain, even just like how it just basically like shook me to my core. So I didn't realize that was OCD until my mom, I guess she was doing research after I, you know, had this panic attack and basically froze, almost like I missed a lot of school. You know, what, I wasn't hanging out with friends. Like, it took me a while to, you know, kind of get out of that, those obsessive thoughts, and kind of, it wasn't until I went to therapy and got, you know, help that I was able to kind of get myself to be out of the, you know, like, for it to be less intense than it was. What I was saying was, so
you went to therapy.
So I went to, when I went to therapy, so my mom did, my mom realized that I had OCD, that was a form of OCD. And I think that was that whole idea of not knowing that was a part of OCD. I thought that I was just like, I was
losing your mind.
Yeah. Losing my mind, or just like that I had died. I don't know. Like, it wasn't like I could recognize that was a part of OCD. And I think that's the tricky part about OCD. It's such a chameleon in that it changes in so many different aspects and so many different forms and shapes that it blends in. It always just blends into your life and you don't realize like what aspects are OCD and what are not.
Right.
So that's when I was like formally diagnosed and started taking medication and started to get, you know, proper help and therapy for it. So that's kind of how mine started.
I just have to say, I think that your story is like unique, but probably more common than we even know about. And I think no one talks about this side of OCD. And I think, I mean, I'm sure both of you know this way better than I do, that like you've probably shared your story and people are like, what? But I think that there are most likely a lot of people out there who experience this and they're like, no one has ever gone through this except for me. And I think that's just the beauty of what you're both doing, because who knows who could be listening to at any point, or who could be buying your bracelet and then looking on your website and then connecting and then listening to a podcast you did or whatever, and then being like, oh my gosh, like I've been experiencing this my whole life. I didn't know. I thought I was alone. Like, it's such an incredible thing that we're just like, even if we stopped right now, which we're not going to, but even if we did, I'd be like, this is enough to like teach someone something. Cause like you just taught me something, you know, like I didn't even know that that was, this isn't like a stereotypical thing. I'm not educated enough on OCD. Like I know anxiety, depression super, super well. And I know other forms of mental illness very well, but I don't know OCD so well. And like, I feel like I kind of just thought OCD either meant like you had to, you know, turn the light switch on and off, or like make sure your straightener was off. Like I have a lot of friends, not a lot. I have a couple friends who had to like take pictures of their straighteners before they left the house. And like, I was like, okay, maybe that's a form, whatever. Right. But I've really never heard of that side of it. And it's really interesting. So I guess before, like, Emily, I want to hear your story too. But before we move into it, like, I want to hear, and I guess this will be a question for you too, but were your parents like receptive to this whole journey? I mean, I'm sure they were scared, but were they kind of like, yes, therapy, let's do this? Were like, they were just kind of willing to do whatever they needed to do?
I mean, it was like, I don't think Emily remembers because she was so young, even though it doesn't feel like we're 5 years apart, but we are.
I was like
five
in, you know,
apart.
Elementary school. So it's like,
it's just so
or middle,
no, middle,
not
school.
Even middle school. Was it middle school?
Maybe fifth grade you were graduating
something.
Or something.
It just, I wasn't, you know, aware.
But like, when I tell you that it was the scariest moment of my life, and like, it lasted for a while, and sometimes it continues to come back, that like, that thought, but I'm able to see it as OCD now and recognize that that is part of OCD, and that's not just like a I'm fearing it and that means it's real, you know what I mean?
Totally.
So I think, and I forgot what you asked me.
Our parents.
So when my mom, you know, found out that that was a form of OCD and that was a common thing, you know, they brought me to therapy, you know, I brought me to a therapist, and, you know, it takes a while to find the right your therapist too, because, you know, you have to feel comfortable. You have to feel, I mean, in the beginning, it was like very new to me going to therapy because they never talked about it really. And I never experienced it like I was experiencing in that moment. But they, you know, it was like they had they said all the right things that I knew that I would continue going to therapy, you know, and they were supportive of it. So
that's amazing. Wow. how old were you when you first started experiencing these symptoms?
I was in, I think, a junior in college, high school. Sorry.
Got it.
2005.
Yeah. Wow. It's interesting because I think that even when you were speaking about seeing your thoughts as clouds or recognizing what's OCD, like I'm sure that I don't want to oversimplify mental illness at all. Like there's so many components to it, but like a lot of the work I do is really similar in my own therapy, is trying to differentiate like what's the anxiety and calling it just that's anxiety. And then this is not. And I think people don't realize how it's like really hard work. And so that's really awesome that you've gotten to that place, because I feel like every single day I'm still in this challenging, I'm still really challenged with trying to like, be like, okay, I know this is my anxiety, so don't listen to it right now. These are lies. Right. Like, don't go down this route, you know?
Right.
But yeah, that's awesome. And
I mean, Emily, and
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's just, it's very hard to, you know, once it takes over, once it hijacks your mind, the thought, it's so hard and it's so important to,
you have, like, flip a switch.
Almost. It's almost like, yeah, you have to immediately, like, stop it, because once you start going down that rabbit hole, it's very hard to get out.
Yeah.
And also when you start to give in to your OCD and your thoughts and your, and, you know, have your compulsions and give in to your compulsions, that is just feeding itself. So you're basically, you know,
you're fueling the OCD by doing what it wants, essentially.
So Emily, what, how did you, when did you, and how did you start recognizing your own OCD?
So I think I was just sort of like a very like anxious child. So like I had separation anxiety from my mom. And I think that's like the earliest, you know, form of anxiety that I can remember, like probably in like nursery school or something. And then it sort of would like show up in elementary school and I just didn't want to go to school. And, you know, I don't think I really thought about why, but, you know, I just remember a lot of crying and teachers being like annoyed at me and like, you know, holding onto doors, not trying to like go into the classroom. You know, then it kind of manifested a little bit with, you know, my friends. Like I wouldn't want to sleep over. And I, you know, I sort of, you know, I would be like down the street at my friend's house and, you know, call my mom to pick me up in the middle of the night just because I just couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And so all this time, you know, it's really just anxiety and, you know, I'm just very attached to my parents. Like that's all I thought of it. And then sort of, you know, in middle school, not so much high school maybe, but like more so in middle school, which is like those like formative years of like, you know, trauma and, you know, weird things happening and, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, I, like, for example, my friends would put on like a rated R movie. And we were probably like 11, 12, maybe, I don't even know. It's probably like fine to be watching R-rated movies at that age, but I like physically couldn't do it. Like I had to sit on the couch and like cover my eyes because
I'm
I was
not
like,
laughing at you. I'm laughing because I also felt like so uncomfortable. I'd be like, you're doing something wrong.
Yes. And it was just like a lot of guilt. Like it was, that's like a great way to describe my anxiety when I was younger. It was just guilt, like guilt after guilt after guilt of like doing something, thinking something, like
and having to confess.
And having to confess. Mm.
Like all I remember is Emily as a kid, not all I remember, but for when we're talking about this specifically, it was all just confession after confession. And the confessions were just like small things. Like, I just like, you know, I just watched this R-rated movie, you know, and it was like she would get so upset about it. And
like I couldn't even get it out. Like, I couldn't even like
speak about it,
but I like had to get it out somehow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, looking back at it, like, that's, like, textbook OCD. That's, like, wow. You know, I have to, you know, I feel like I'm a bad person because I'm watching this rated R movie even though my parents told me not to. And now I just have to get it out or I'll, you know, go crazy. And then, you know, confessing to that, that's a compulsion. And so every time you do that, you give in and feed it and it grows bigger and bigger and bigger.
Wow.
So throughout all of middle school, I was just confessing left and right to like stupid things. Like, and so, I don't know, I guess I feel like maybe I tried to go to therapy like for one session when I was in middle school. Cause there was a point where I just like refused to go to school. It didn't really work or I didn't want to keep going.
Because it was more like talk therapy.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Because we didn't know it was OCD. Like I was just like a, you know, a crybaby and I just had a lot of anxiety. I would call my mom on the payphone in middle school. Yes, we had payphones in middle school.
Oh, wow.
Every day.
I mean, you guys are probably the same
every,
age,
I know. I know. Yeah, I'm talking to the listeners. Well, it was a term.
But where did you grow up?
Long Island.
Long Island. Dix Hills, for anyone listening.
I don't think
it was
maybe we did.
It was West Howell Middle School. We had cell phones, but we weren't allowed to bring them in. So I guess like left over, they had these like pay phones. I think it was, you know, they were just like there because like cell phones were just, you know, like starting for our age, I guess. And I just have friends like to this day, like just remember me in middle school, like every time I lunch on the payphone, like that's how I'm remembered. And so it's like little things like that. That's kind of like how my anxiety occurred as I grew up. And then high school, I guess it sort of dwindled a little bit. Like I obviously wasn't as guilty because I did like drink and do other things. And most of the time I was like fine keeping it a secret. But in college, it came back like full force. I think I was in a psych class and I just kind of like almost had like a flashback to everything I just described. And I think it had to do with, we were like studying something about like sexual orientation. And I was like, holy fuck. Like when I was in middle school, like I had these like thoughts and doubts and, you know, does that mean that I'm, you know, I don't know who I'm attracted to or I'm confused. Mm-hmm. And so like the beginning of college, it was like that doubt of like, you know, ping ponging back and forth. Like, well, this points to evidence that I like boys and like, but like sometimes this happens and this sometimes I think girls are pretty, and it's like literally just back and forth, like for a long time. This was all in college too. And then, you know, aside from that, there was a ton of drinking and I hate to say this, but like blacking out and not remembering. And so that brought on a whole nother form of OCD, which is, you know, what if I did something and I don't remember? What if, you know, someone poisoned me? What if, you know, someone hurt me and I didn't know it, like, or I didn't remember it. And then it would sort of, you know, I would maybe brown out a little bit, but then I'd like, you know, question that even more because I kept giving into that, you know, that fear of like, okay, now I have to review everything that happened. I have to consult with my friends to see what they think or for them to give me like a play-by-play of the night. And so it's just like multiple things, like Lindsay was saying, OCD is a chameleon. So it's multiple things happening at once. You know, there was this time where this was like senior year, I remember, because we were in line for Chuck's, which is, as Sarah knows, it's a senior bar. And I was like leaning against the brick wall in line. And I just like, all of a sudden I was just thinking to myself, like, what if someone peed on this wall and now I have like pee in my hair? And I was like, in my like state, I was like, I really should go back and shower, but no, I really don't need to shower. This is ridiculous. Like, but
it's
I
like really having really your conversation in your mind, with yourself,
right? With like this little evil like devil on your shoulder, and it's like the angel and the devil, and it's like, you know, I really, really, really want to go home, but I know I shouldn't. But I went home eventually. Like it was just like because I didn't know, none of this to me was OCD. This was just, I'm super anxious. I don't know why. You know, I thought, you know, I'm thinking that there's pee on this wall. So like most likely there probably is pee on this wall. And like, so I'd go home and like shower. And in college, I have curly hair now, but I would like straighten it all the time. And so that was like an annoying thing for me to have to do, is like to wash my hair in the middle of a night out. And, you know, having to deal with my friends being like, what are you like, you're going to go home now? Like, what are you, I don't understand.
Right. Did you tell them what you were thinking about?
I told one person because I had gone into the bar and I was like so overwhelmed that I started crying. Oh. And she was like, what's going on? Like, what's wrong? And I like kind of explained it. And she was like, you're definitely fine, but like, do what you have to do kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
That's a good
part. And so, yeah, it was. She's a good friend. you know, and then, you know, so that was part of it. And then another part that kind of evolved was when I started dating someone. And I didn't know this at the time, but there's something called relationship OCD. It's like specifically OCD about relationships. And so if you can imagine being that annoying girlfriend, like, you know, what if he's texting someone else? Like, he seems like he's distracted. Is he cheating on me? Is he...
All the things that are common worries. Right,
all the thing that you might, mm-hmm. you know, have doubts about a relationship, but, like, times 10. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the...
Times 20.
And the willingness to sort of, like, get any evidence you can find to help you, like, negate whatever you're thinking. So, just, like, going through extreme measures or just, like, asking really awkward questions. Like, I feel like you, like, looked at me weird. Like, you know, does this mean this? Or this, mm-hmm. like, example I love to share is, like, I was sleeping and at his apartment and I was in my pajamas and I woke up and there was, like, a perfectly, like, straight line, like, ripped out of it. Like, and so I was, like, did he use a scissor to cut my pajamas to, like, do something? And, like, my mind just, like, spiraled. Mm-hmm. So I'd do things like look on the counter for, like, a scissor, if there was, like, a scissor near the bed, or just, like, kind of, like, hinting at it as a joke, but really just, like, wanting the answer, like, why? But no, I do not. Like, I couldn't almost be, like, did you cut my pajama bottoms? Like, I couldn't say that. So I had to, like, roundabout way try to get the answer. And so all this stuff is taking up so much room in your mind that you can't even, like, be in the relationship. And so it was at this stage, like, combined with everything I've experienced in college, I think I was, like, very close to graduating. And I, like, was, like, just, like, broke down. And I was, like, I need to do something about this. Like,
and I don't think I don't even know when I knew that you started having these thoughts. Because if I knew that she had these thoughts right away, I would have been
you know, I never think about that. But I really didn't. I didn't say tell anyone any of this, really. Because
a lot of the stuff that I've, ever since she was a kid, like, she's kept in a lot of stuff in her mind that she's kind of,
like, quote-unquote secrets.
Yeah, she's kept a lot of, not even secrets, but it's just things that, like, that you were just embarrassed to share that were so common that I wish I did remember trying to, like, even in middle school when you were talking about that sexual orientation, I remember trying to, like, get her to say out loud it so that she can get it off her chest and just, like, speak about it. But she was so afraid and so...
Well, because you knew at that time, too, that... Did you know you had, like, the OCD after the panic attack at that time? Because I feel like that was, like, a common symptom. Or maybe you didn't even just put two and two together.
No, I did. I didn't recognize that she had OCD. It was just like, oh, I've had this thought, too. Like, Emily, like, this mm-hmm. is totally normal. Like, this is what, like, growing up is about, you know? But it just... And I think that's what drives me to kind of continue sharing my story is that, like, the amount that she's kept in her mind, thinking that she was the only person, that mm-hmm. she was just, like, alone and that she was going through all these struggles and just making it so hard for her to just, like, live. You know, live that, like,
yeah.
I wish I could have saved her so many, like, nights of just, like, crying, right. you know, herself yeah. and just. So, yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no. So I was just going to say, you know, when I graduated, I, you know, it was like, I think the like, sexual orientation part of it was, like, really stopping me from going to therapy because I just, like, couldn't say it out loud. Mm-hmm. And I think it got to the point where I was just like, I am so tired of this. And, like,
right.
I just need to go see a therapist. Like, I just, like, almost, like, pulled the trigger and it's like, once you go, it's, like, the best feeling in the world, like, just mm-hmm. to, like, spill everything out. And
yeah.
So everything I just described, none of that in my head was OCD. Like, I was just having weird thoughts and, like, doing weird things to get rid of the thoughts. And I didn't even think of them as, like, weird thoughts. I was just like, I'm anxious. Like, right. these things are making me anxious. And so she, I think it was, like, the first or the second session, you kind of, like, fill out a questionnaire or whatever. And she was like, you have OCD. And I was like, that's interesting because my sister has OCD. And,
yeah, you, like, knew already. That's so crazy.
Right. And so then it kind of, like, everything, like, clicks. Like, oh, that makes sense. And, like, you know, the compulsions don't have to be switching on and off a light. It could be, like, mental compulsions and seeking reassurance from friends, and like literally everything that I had described to her was like textbook OCD.
Wow.
And so that's, you know, why we're doing what we're doing today, is because like, even like when we post on social media, like we've gotten messages that are like, I've literally never talked about this to anyone and I feel so heard, and like, this is crazy. I can't believe I'm not the only one. Like, mm-hmm. So it's just like, there's so much like pain we can alleviate just by like sharing what we've been through, and like all of, like the taboo things that we've thought, mm-hmm. and like the embarrassing things that we go through, because it's normal.
So how's it going now? Like, now that you've gone to therapy and you've worked through, you know, things that you've experienced, like, would you say that you have the tools now? Are you still in therapy? How's it going?
Yeah, so I actually stopped going to therapy last August, which is sort of when we started to launch Presently. And the reason I stopped was because my therapist actually was like, I think you're done. Like, you're good.
That's an amazing feeling.
Right? And so, well, I mean, I was like so scared, because I was like, what? You're leaving me? Like,
I still have OCD.
I know. I'm like, I'm not like cured, but like, the point she did tell me, like in the very beginning of therapy, like the point is to teach you things so that you don't need me anymore, because you're building up all of these tools and like almost like strengthening your like mental muscles to kind of like reactively and proactively like beat the OCD essentially. And like, you know, now for me, like sometimes I'm like, how, like, do I really have OCD? Like, am I just like an imposter? Like, you know, like that sort of stuff, it's so few and far between. But you know, there are things that come up, like, and I sometimes try to like, you know, just by being on social media and in this like whole like universe of therapy on Instagram and online, and just like trying to like, you know, like kind of pinpoint like those times where I'm like, oh, that was OCD or anxiety.
I think it's hard also to I think it's also hard to, in the moment, realize when things are OCD or you're getting anxious about something, because it's been a part of our nature for so long that it's like a path, like a very well grooved path that we've created, you know, this like, it's almost just like second nature to us to like respond in the ways that we've responded. And a lot of the things that like we don't even see as OCD ourselves, but if you were to tell them in therapy, they'd be like, yeah, you're still, you know, having these mm-hmm. thoughts. And it was like, well, it's just, that's normal. Like, you know, it's just, it's really interesting and gets so interwoven into your life that,
And I think the point that the reason you're not noticing it is because your mind is, you've almost like retrained your mind to respond to the OCD thoughts in the proper way. So that's why I think sometimes I'm like, I don't have OCD. But then if I really think about it, like, I just felt like I needed to wash my hands again. For what reason?
Right.
And then I just didn't. And then it just like went away. You're starving the OCD.
Yes. Right. Exactly. Wow.
Good for you. Starving the OCD.
Yes. I love that.
My therapist always says that. Yeah. This is incredible. I would love to know, I would love to know much more, but I also would love to know how you got into Pop Sugar and Forbes and what that did like for your business over the last year.
You want to go?
No, you.
Okay. Well, basically, as with anything starting this business, we just like Googled the shit out of everything. Like, how do I get into a magazine? How do I do this? How do I do that? And a lot of it is just like connecting with people online and like just reaching out and being like, hey, like I saw you work for Pop Sugar. I saw you work for Forbes. And, you know, here's our story. Like, I wonder if there's like a way that you can share this with your audience, or that your audience would be like inspired by this. And then, you know, constantly messaging people.
But also, and the interesting part is too, that like Emily would always be like, they're not going to respond. Like, you're not going to get anything. And all of the people that I've reached out to, not all of them responded, but the where we got the connections was just me having hope and being very like persistent and being like, no, you never know who you're gonna, you know, reach out to, and they're gonna connect, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they're gonna have something feel something similar. And that's basically, I think, how we continue to kind of move forward. Like, you know, Emily's always like, you're thinking too big, you know, like you have to.
I'm a little bit more practical.
Yeah, but I'm not. I'm like so the opposite, which is a great balance
for business. Yeah,
absolutely. So I'm just always like, let's just try. You never know. You never know. And yeah, I think that's kind of been our what's working for us.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Okay, well, this has been so amazing. I feel like I'm inspired, and I really can't imagine what other people are going to learn from this, because I just learned so much. And I always like, not that I think I know so much, because I know there's actually so much I don't know, but every time someone shares a story with me, I'm like, that's when you realize how much you don't know. You know what I mean? Like when someone shares their story and you hear something totally new that you've never heard before, that's when you have this realization every single time of like, oh my gosh, I always think I know so much, and I really don't. Not that I think I know so much, but like, you know what I mean? Like, the more you learn, the more you realize you don't actually know that much. This is not coming out correctly.
No, I fully understand what you're saying. It's like your thirst for knowledge continues, because you're like, I really don't know anything. I really just need to learn everything. Okay,
so please tell anyone who's listening, like, where they can find your product, and, you know, where they can find you, and all the things that you want to share, and how you can be found.
So we can be found at thinkpresently.com. Our Instagram is at thinkpresently, and all other, so we're predominantly doing Instagram, but all other social media platforms, we're at thinkpresently, which makes sense why people think we're called Think Presently. Yeah, you can shop our bracelets there. You can shop through Instagram. If you follow us on Instagram, we post a bunch of, you know, interesting, like, little snackable. I learned this from my job. Snackable pieces of content
that is so ad lingo. Yes.
I know.
I'm gonna be reminded.
You can just like learn some new things. So
that's awesome. I want to get it. I'm gonna look on your website and shop for things, because I feel I've been working on my anxiety for like literally 6 years, and there have been so many points where my therapist is like, you're done, and then like some big drastic thing happens in my life, and I'm like, I'm not done. I need help.
Round it up, round it up.
Seriously. Okay, thank you both so much for being here. Like,
thank you so much.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, and for making the time. And I hope that everyone who listens, just, I know anyone who listens is going to get so much out of this. So thank you for being here and for opening up, because it's not easy to do that. So thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you all so much for listening, for tuning in, if you're still here. And I want to remind you that you can find me at It's Fine and Fine Pod on Instagram, Sarah L. Sassone, that's unlike Nancy at the end, on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. And I really hope you enjoyed this episode. As I said, I really found them super, super, super informative. I just had no idea that OCD could take certain forms. And maybe that was ignorant of me or naive of me, but I just didn't know. And that's why these episodes are so important to me, because how could I have ever known about this kind of experience with OCD if we hadn't had this episode? Well, at least for me. I mean, maybe everyone else is learning it from different places, but I had just never heard of this type of experience before. So very informative. And as always, thank you so much, and bye.